My name is Steve Lemon. It's my lucky day to get to preach up here this morning. There was not too long ago that Pastor Chris had a sermon series, and then he had a break from the sermon series to do another short little sermon series, and then he finished his sermon series. And I just wanted to let you know that this is the second part of my sermon series. There might be a third one sometime long ways away. And Frank, thank you for being at both of them. There have been none in between. As you may or may not know, I substitute at different schools in town. And I like to substitute at middle school in particular. And I was at Washington this fall. Washington, that's the one off Grandview and Dodge. And one of the fringe benefits of being a substitute is you get paid to do some things that normally you don't get paid to do. I get paid to stand outside and just enjoy the weather with a flag for kids. I mean, it's just nice to get paid to be outside. I got paid this day to go down to the auditorium and watch a concert. And I say, hey, that's pretty cool. I got paid to go down there, and the kids, they all sit nice. You never have to worry about them. Gabe, is that true when you were in middle school? No. Anyway, I got to watch the concert, and I was just thrilled with it. It happened to be that a week later, I got to be a sub for the music teacher. And the music teacher was responsible for the choir. And they have this ELT thing during lunch hour where they have kids do different special things. And her special thing was to have the choir in the auditorium. So here I am with 60 or 70 kids spread out in this all auditorium. It makes me a little nervous in situations like that, but it was just cool. It was funny, but there was at least one teacher who came in during this time to make sure I was surviving all this crowd. And then I only think I've had a principal show up in a classroom two or three times as long as I've been. He stopped by to make sure it was okay. Anyway, all I had to do was to take attendance, and the kids help you with attendance. I had to show a video. If I couldn't figure out how to do the video, you have a kid come up and they run the video. It was a piece of cake, but then the note said I had the choice of several other things to do, another video, or one of them was I could just push the button, and not me, just send one of those other kids, push the button, and their music would come on for their concert, and they were going to practice for me. And that was so cool, because I was thrilled with it the first time, and now I got to be the leader of this group, and they just sang as nice as could be, and it was so cool. I loved this so much that when it was time for the concert, I drug my wife to the concert, she went with me, and we watched it, and anyway, the moral of the story is the opening number of the concert, all three times I heard it, was This Little Light of Mine, which is just so cool because you don't expect to see that at school, but I saw this at school. Now, it was amazing. I'm getting this, building this up. It was amazing, spectacular, awesome, inspiring, beautiful, cool, goosebumpy, if that's a word. You're getting the picture of how I felt when this song was being performed. So anyway, that was the motivation for this sermon, was that song, hearing it at those concerts. And I have this tradition of listening to music and not always listening to the words. And I found out later that they hadn't sung This Little Light of Mine the way that we sang it in here this morning with those words. There are, you know how we make up different words, and I thought, oh no, did I blow it? And this really wasn't one that I could talk about in church, and it turned out it was just as cool, if not better. So anyway, on to that later. Now we need to go and look at the Bible verse today, and this arrow is going to get me. I got to try practicing forward and reverse. I hit it two times. So this is from Matthew chapter 5, I think it is. Yes, 5, verses 14 through 16. And it starts out by saying, "You are the light of the world." Christians are under a magnifying glass in the world today, in the world always. I just think about pastors, the magnifying glass they're under of looking at them and say, oh, the pastor did that. Oh, the pastor did that. Oh, people look at Christians and say, wow, that's what Christians do. Or people look at it and say, wow, that's how Christians act. You know what I mean? We're on this, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. That's a town. I don't know if you can, it's kind of a fancy house, but you're getting the picture. The image I had was, as you come into town from the south, you know there's the cross that's up on top of the hill that's lit in blue? You've seen it. Some of you have, some of you haven't. I think they put it on the hill so people could see it. That was the point of it. And I know it's been dim sometimes and it's been lit sometimes. We saw it not too long ago. We hope it's back up. It made me think of this verse. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And you know, you read commentaries before you come up here and speak, and there was some commentary that talked about the stand being the church. I don't know if that's theologically proper, but I'm going with it for today. People light a lamp and put it under a bowl. No, instead they put it on its stand. We are in the church as the stand, lighting the world. And it gives light to everyone in the house. And somehow it talks about in the old days they'd have like this piece sticking out from the wall and you'd put the light lamp up there and it would make light for the whole, and it was for the whole house. There was just one room, so it was like this lamp, this light is for the whole house. And the Sermon on the Mount, this is kind of the Sermon on the Mount, if you didn't catch this, it's following as part of it. And the Sermon on the Mount started out as speaking to the apostles. Jesus was speaking to the apostles. And then by the end of the sermon, the apostles and all the people, it made it sound like it was the 12 apostles. It was the other apostles. It was whoever was around. In the same way, let your light shine before it. The point I wanted to make was, the apostles weren't just going to let their light shine to the Jewish people. This is like a preview for everyone. The light's going to shine for everyone. Thank you. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. That is so cool to think about. This church, we aren't in a contest with each other to see who plays the bells or who gets to usher or who gets to stand up here in front and who gets to play the music. It's everybody working together as a team. And as we're working together as a team, we are letting the light shine upon God the Father in heaven and showing what His people are doing as the church here on earth. So, that's our Bible verses. I want to look at the light shining in this church, kind of being more specific. Yes. I'm giving you a little history lesson. Some of you have not heard the history of our bus. We had a bus program in this church that I understand lasted almost 25 years, and I didn't get this as a fact, but I think it somehow started, it was birthed at a Rockford Sunday School convention. Thank you, Jerry. You guys may or may not know that one of the focal high points of this church in history was going to the Rockford Sunday School Convention in the spring and spending the week and being motivated and thrilled and excited about coming back and teaching Sunday School. We went to it a couple times I know of, and it was truly amazing. Rachel says, I've never even heard of this before because it was before her time. Bus number one, I don't believe I ever rode on that bus, and rumor has it that it was not a happy bus. It may have had some second church bus. I'm hoping I'm getting these in the right order. This is the second church bus. It was blue in color, and the amazing story about this is that I can't remember who was driving, but I do remember the moment where we were driving down Peru Road. You know where Peru Road is down here and down that? We're heading out to Terrace Heights or somewhere out in that area. And it died deader than a door, and it was done forever. that was a sad story, but you know, God works miracles, and I don't know if it was 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 4 weeks later, it was not too many weeks later that we had this amazing new bus, not new, but new to us, and pretty darn new compared to the old bus, sitting up here, and it was just an answer to prayers, and it was amazing. So you've seen our buses. My goal was to have a picture of everyone who drove the bus to show you today, and I may have missed somebody, and I feel bad if I did. And my goal was, Rachel and I were going to go out in the evenings and take pictures at each house, and Rachel got a job, and she got a cat, Pat Kohler, she got a cat, and time became short, and so I started my journey taking pictures by myself. And I've got as far as the Vandenberg household, and when I got home and saw, these pictures aren't the best quality as far as the person taking, the person in it was wonderful. And then I thought, how am I going to do this quickly? So I got into this mode of, how else can I do this? And I called Al, and I said, Al, you guys have cell phones? You could take a picture and send it to me, couldn't you? And Al says, Al didn't give me a good answer, but his wife said, he said his wife, between the two of them, it could be done. And as you see up here, this isn't the picture that Al sent me, because I took it out of the church directory. Because when I got to Dan Baker, and I said, Dan Baker, can we do this? He says, I'm in Minnesota, and we don't really want to take it. So, you understand, I got pictures. These are the drivers that drove our Sunday school bus, in my memory, best I can go. Al Hackinson, Sam Twilliger, he said, our kids are going to be here this weekend. They can figure it out. And see what a nice job they did on the picture they sent me of Sam. Mike Stowers, I don't know if his daughter did that, but he did that. Mike was, I think at the end, as we were heading towards the final years, we had some changes with the rules, and we had to have a certain kind of license to drive the bus, and Mike was one of those that, and he drove it a lot. This was before he had his leg amputated, and Mike had, I can remember Mike's kids riding the bus, all three of them when they were little kids. Sorry, Mike. This is Mike Vandenberg. I just wanted to let you know that I did get one picture that I think turned out kind of okay. Thank you, Mike, for letting me show that up there. And Dan Baker, they sent me that. No, this is from the church directory. This is another one I took at the Vandenberg house, and Ralph says he doesn't really like to have his picture taken, but he let me do it anyway. And I said, Ralph, yours turned out really nice. Kent said, it's okay, use the directory. And Kent had a nice picture in the directory. Ray, his picture was in the directory, so I snatched it out of there. You still have that green shirt, Ray, you're going to wear for the next directory? Harry Vandenberg was a driver. He drove city buses. He drove church buses. He helped out with the bus program. Marv Meeker. I did talk to LaDonna, his daughter. She gave me his phone number, said they had a smartphone. I called. I didn't get anywhere. But it was cool to think of you pick up dances. How's it go? This is Marv. Please leave some messages. Just nice to hear his voice. And Dan Jackson, who was it that told me that? Sam Twilliger said that Dan Jackson drove the bus, and I didn't remember that. Writers. We had writers and music on the bus. See what a nice picture, Bob. Is this your wife's doing, Bob, or did you? Bob played guitar on the bus as we went around and encouraged kids. We had lots of writers. You know, we had to have a driver driving and a rider making sure the kids got in, got off, kept them under control, etc. And I think all the drivers probably drove at one time or another. I never drove, but I rode a lot. Gene Bryson, a neighbor of Jerry's, he went to our church from time to time. Jerry, Jody, hopefully you remember Charlie and Lorraine Collin. There are others I'm sure I've missed, and I feel awful if I didn't say someone that I should have. You know how many people we had praying for the bus? We had people giving so the bus could have gas, that it could have insurance, that it could be bought. We had sitters that came in church and sat with kids. There were times when Sue, a kid, Sue, me, a kid, Paul, a kid, there were, one memory that I have is Bob and Nancy Shoups. They had two kids, and it was hopefully a plan where kids and families kind of developed a relationship. Bob and Nancy Shoups, right, that was their spot. They had, I think his name was Michael, a little guy, and then Michael had a little sister that came, and they came and sat with him. Jerry sat with lots of kids lots of times. We have teachers. You know, sometimes when it was time for Sunday school, and it seemed slim, they'd say, oh, is the bus here yet? And things would pick up as the bus kids. We had a lot of Sunday school teachers each Sunday morning. We had VBS programs that took a lot of people to organize and plan and run, and these kids came for vacation Bible school. We went canvassing in the neighborhood where we'd go door to door once or twice a year looking for kids. We had people that took care of the bus, keeping it ship shape. Mike was the king of doing the work on the bus, and we had to have gas in it. Youth group leaders, some of the kids from the bus came to our youth group at night. We had Mike reminded me that Roger Carlson painted the lettering on the bus. Mike did some painting on it. We had mentors and friends. I hope you're getting the picture that the bus program was a light shining in Dubuque from our church. But this isn't just about the bus. I want to talk about other things. And you guys, I hope you're taking this, that we're a team. And if I didn't have everyone's name up here and I didn't say something, we are a team and each person here is important. Each person here is letting their light shine in one way or another. I don't know if you can see that for you. I thought of the prayer chain. I mean, look at the bulletins or newsletters or whatever it's listed. There are people listed in that prayer chain that have been praying for 10 and 15 and 20 and 25 and 30. I don't know how many years letting their light shine. Mona Hennings and others. Betty, were you involved in the women's circles and so on and so forth? Jerry, Pat, I mean, Mona would be her calling. There's this conference coming up. We want to go to this ladies' conference. Howard Higley. Howard, 75 years old, and he's faithfully here, week in and week out. No, I'm making him 75 today. Pam DeMeester, you know how you have certain things that you do that when it's over, you start for the next year? Vacation Bible School is one of those things. She did it for I don't know how many years where it ended, and then it was time to start on the next one. Howard, Pam, Barb Berg, school supplies that she's involved in, and this Christmas party that we just had takes, oh, what a light shining. Scott Arnold, teaching adult Sunday school. That's one of the highlights of my Sunday school teaching in history, is being with Scott Arnold. Ken Godwin, have you noticed how that when someone's not up here, the regular, it just kind of seamlessly happens that we have music, and it all goes okay other than the person's trying to steal his show. Pam Hillary has spent her gifts in teaching us as session members, as church members, in leading us and guiding us. Doug Mulder, supporting youth by coming to Common Grounds and hanging out for half hour after they're done at school. It's been so cool. Mary Hershey, doing precepts. I mean, the time and the energy and effort that has gone into that. And someone told me, oh, has that been going on for 3 years now, 4 years? Gosh, 10 years, 15, I don't know. Don Sanders, keeping our straight, on the straight and narrow financially, and you can think of lots of other persons that through the years, Harry Mulick, I would think was a money guy, and Earl, and the others that have been here. Worship team, there was a time when our son Joey sat up here and played drums and played bass guitar. I mean, the worship team has been going for a long time with a lot of people singing and performing. Bob Belk, ushers. Bob has been the king of ushering throughout the years. I don't know if Bob's still involved with ushers, but he certainly has let his light shine on that, and with gold and oldies. And, you know, Wilma, how many bells can one person hold in her hand and play? Mabel Belk, our kids went to Sunday school and they went into the nursery out of the room over here that Janine had over here to this room, and she was with the little kids. She and Pat Kohler were letting their light shine teaching those kids. Pastors, Chris. I mean, think of the pastors, and I don't know most of them. Chris and Dana and Alan and Dan Thornton, Pastor Woody, Dr. Baird, Pastor Davis, Pastor Hamer, Glenn Johnson, and you think of the seminary students that have let their light shine in this community and have been at this church as students. Roger Van der Zijl, he is the king of fixing things. He greeted me today. He said, I got this gadget for you, ready for action. The food pantry, I can't imagine. The thing that's amazed me about the food pantry through all the years is, and maybe I don't know the whole story, is it seems like they always have help. You know how sometimes when you want to do something, we got to find some help. And it's not always the people there. The food pantry, it seems like there's just always been people there. Pat Kohler and the shoeboxes. Pat, did you hear that? Pat Kohler and the shoeboxes. Carolyn Arnold, when she was the Sunday school leader of all this amazing thing that was going on. Kent Brighton. Kent, is there any music that Kent hasn't done? Kent, I heard he's retiring and he's going to take up playing guitar. No, that's a false. Kent, I'm just kidding. Bob DeMeester, piano and keyboard playing, and he and Pam were youth group leaders, and it just goes on and on. Dwayne, ever made anything in this church for us? The king of making things, Doug Storley. Did you play softball? He played softball. We had a softball team that letting our light shine. Suze Birch, she's the crafty person. Suze Birch is, whenever there's crafts to be done, and I put on there Pauline Brimmer. Have you seen anybody ever so faithful in having kids show up for church that aren't their own? She is the replacement bus ministry in this church, when you think about it. The list goes on and on. So, in summary, I'm going to read it for you. Our light is shining that God may be glorified. I praise God for you and the others who have been a part of this church. I know I've missed people who helped on the bus, and I know I haven't listed every person in the pews today, and every one of you is letting your light shine in one way or the other. The purpose of this sermon isn't to glorify each other, but to glorify God for what he is doing through us. The purpose is to rejoice in how he has used us and will continue to use us in the future. Amen. Now, that's not the end of the sermon. Sorry. This is where Roger and I were going to sing the very traditional version of This Little Light Isn't Mine, but we decided we'll just put it on the board. This is the version they sang at Washington. I just wanted to be sure you got this. Light that shines is the light of love, hides the darkness from above. Shines on me and it shines on you, shows you what the power of love can do. That isn't what you sang this morning, Ken. This is another version. And I tried to find the author of this, and you know, I thought I had the author found, and you looked, and the words were even different a third time, so I don't know who. Shine my light, both bright and clear, shine my light, both far and near. In every dark corner that I find, let my little light shine. So that's still kind of a neat version, but it wasn't good enough for me to write a sermon on because I was a little discouraged at this point. But then it got to this part, and this is a handout I'm giving out to you at the end of church today. I have copies made. I made 70 copies. And I'll have some over there and some over there. And if you, I think we got enough for everybody. If not, we can share as we go out. Monday gave me the gift of love. I got to look for my notes on this. And the Bible verse I'm giving you that is a reflection verse for this week if you choose to do this on Monday. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That one is good. Tuesday, peace came from above. 1 Corinthians 1:3, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is cool. Wednesday, told me to have more faith. This is from Luke 17. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Thursday, gave me a little more grace. I really love this in a song that's being sung at school. Thursday gave me a little more grace. Grace to all. This is from Ephesians. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Friday told me to watch and pray. This is from Matthew. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Saturday told me just what to say. I think this is Jesus speaking as he's saying, I know that his command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. And that Jesus is in our lives, and he helps us. He tells us just what to say also. And the conclusion is, Sunday gave me the power divine. And that one is from 2 Corinthians 10. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. These are the verses a day for this week, if you'd like to look at them. You have to look them up on your own, in your own Bible. I just put the quote where they came from. And as you leave here today, I hope you'll be thinking about how wonderful the choir was at Washington Middle School last November. Karis, you agree the choir was good. They did a nice job. Thank you. Think about how God has been glorified through our actions and deeds in this church, and think about how he will use us in the future. Amen.